Welcome to the Off the Road Again podcast. I'm Ross.
I'm Spencer.
And I'm Rich.
And this is the podcast about everything and anything off-road. And tonight we are without Chris, who is dodging storms in Kansas. And
we are in northern New Hampshire.
We are in North New Hampshire.
Actually, no, we're in Vermont.
Okay, we are technically in Vermont. We were in New Hampshire for the majority of today, and we briefly stepped into Maine, and we're staying in an Airbnb in Vermont, somewhere by a racetrack. We go outside our Airbnb.
Starts with an M.
And all we hear is V8s burning up and down what we thought was a dirt track until we heard tires squealing on tarmac. We are in the New Hampshire Jericho Mountain State Park area. Chris isn't here tonight, so I am hosting with my brother Spencer and my father Rich, who have both been on the show but independently. I don't think you haven't been on the show together, right?
No.
Sven, you were on a couple weeks ago, and Dad, you were on
one of the first shows.
One of the early shows, yep. Which has tracked pretty well.
Yep. So I think tonight we should actually talk about the last day of riding.
So we're recording on September 23rd at 10 o'clock. I think we should start by talking about what happened on September 22nd. So to set the stage for this, we're gonna skip our normal trajectory of talking about, you know, press cars and press quads and
press,
you know,
trucks.
Our press trucks and our personal vehicular updates, and just go straight into some trip stories. So we came up here from Connecticut and lower New York from outside the city, as Long Islanders would call it, upstate.
I would like to point out that
closer to the mic.
I would like to point out that on a 100-mile stretch of 91 North, Ross somehow made up a 30-mile gap between us. Okay, we were pulling a trailer with the quads, and he was in a pickup.
No trailer. Yep.
Just a quad in the bed.
Just quad.
But in 100 miles, he made up a 30-mile difference when we first started on 91 North out of Hartford.
And for that, I would like to credit both not having a trailer and the
New Hampshire State Police.
the lack of New Hampshire State Police on that stretch of 91. And also the 2023 Toyota Tundra TRD Pro.
And also the fact that we were running ahead of him and we were radioing back to him.
Yeah.
We're the speed traps.
It's like our own little cannonball run, allegedly. None of this actually happened. We're talking about theoreticals.
Jimmy and the Bandit.
But I will say that the Tundra is not slow. It's actually kind of great. We're not talking press trucks today.
And I will say that we were averaging with the truck and the trailer somewhere around 70 miles per hour.
Kilometers per hour.
So someone out there is going to do the math tonight.
No, we don't do math. Well, see,
hopefully not the guys who let you borrow the truck.
You better not post
thanks,
this until you get out of the state of New Hampshire.
Yep. Nope. Thanks, Zach.
Because they're going to have a target on you.
No, I didn't do anything. I was getting passed, for what it's worth. All right, so let's set the stage. So we are in Vermont, riding in New Hampshire around Jericho Mountain State Forest. I am still riding the Polaris Scrambler XP1000S, which is the crazy 55-inch wide guy with the, you know, big 91 horsepower ProStar. Spen is driving
a 2016 Can-Am Maverick 1000R XXC. And really didn't make it easy figuring out what model you have.
He's definitely sure about the fact that it's the XXC and not, you know, just the X or the XXC or the XX. And,
we found out for sure, but yeah. We'll get into this in a minute.
So Sven's driving that. He's been driving that for a little while. And Rich, Dad,
you have a 2016 Polaris Razor S.
1000.
1000. We've made a bunch of modifications on it, including dual rate springs, 30-inch tires.
And most of the modifications are unfucking the things that we fucked up.
Yeah. But it's an awesome trail vehicle.
It's 60 inches wide?
No, it's a little under 60 right
like
now.
Like 58?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's set up perfectly for what I need.
It's set up perfectly for what you need when the high mount spare tire is actually bolted down.
Yeah. I heard the least
of our problems this weekend.
After replacing axles and wheel bearings for the last few weeks.
Shocks and suspension over the last few years.
So we get out on the trail and I hear this metallic banging. I can't figure out where it's coming from. And
metallic banging. Name my next band.
And and at one of our stops, Sven notices that there's a wheel lug in the back of my quad. And one thing leads to another. We look up top and the wheel lugs for the lug nuts for the spare tire were loose. One actually came off. So that was the answer for that.
And I was chasing him.
Problem solved of all time.
Seriously. And I was chasing him all day. And
Ross actually said to me, I hear some banging coming out. I can't figure out what it is. I actually made a bracket. It was actually a little extension for to go between the OEM guard and the boot on the rear axles. It extended about another inch and a half or 2 inches because that was the area where I was getting tree branches through
branches.
Those are trees.
Actual trees.
Through in this tiny little gap. And I actually had two of my boots that got sliced, which led to the axles getting damaged. And I had to replace two axles.
So I'm riding in the back. And I think that, you know, that one of these makeshift plastic boot and axle guards is contacting something and there's some crazy, you know, explosion happening. But turns out for the audio listener, imagine a black Polaris Razor with a spare tire mounted at top of roof rack level behind where your head would be sitting in the cabin. And somehow the noise made its way down the frame and it sounded like it was coming. All right. So that was today.
On the trails that we ride, there's always noise coming out of the machines. There's always noise coming out of the machines.
There's noise and there's noise that's wrong.
There's good noise and there's bad noise. And you have to, as you're barreling down the trails, you have to figure out whether you've got good noise or bad noise coming out.
I have trouble with that statement because as someone who is extremely fortunate and, you know, gracious to ride new things with in the confines of not worrying about breakage, the noises only come from the exhaust and the transmission and the wind, which, you know,
my
truck, I could say the same thing.
I have noise.
Yeah.
I have noise all the time.
There's a certain amount of like rattling that you have just from the frame with the skid plates, the way that they're situated.
Extra weight in places. Everybody in the off-road world knows this, right? The more complexity you have, the more weight that you add with aftermarket parts and shit that you carry,
and
the more
and you're never
noise
gonna
there's
hear,
gonna be.
You're never gonna hear just the engine. Which there's always going to be some sort of clinking and clanking that comes up behind you that you're trying to figure out if it's the right type or the wrong type.
But which leads me to another statement that should be made, whether it's too early to make this or not. It is absolutely amazing. And I'm an engineer. It's absolutely amazing that what we put these machines through, it's amazing that you can go today. We covered about 110 miles through the woods and the terrain was rough. It's amazing what we put these machines through and they are still intact in one piece after the ride.
It's
right.
I mean, considering the vehicles that you exposed me to when I was a child that barely survived a drive to the store to get bagels on a Sunday, let alone a trip to the woods.
I thought we were going to die driving that Jeep.
Well, you fell out of that Jeep.
You did fall out of that Jeep. That explains a lot.
My swan dove face first.
Swan dove. Okay, so let's back up.
But still, I just want to put this out.
It's amazing.
It's amazing that we can
lean here. Slide a little closer. It's okay. Chris. I'm really sorry about the audio on this. It's
amazing
not,
that
it's, making out.
It's amazing that we can do what we do with these things for 8 hours or 9 hours and beat the absolute crap out of them, and just load them on a trailer and go home.
It's a testament to.
Because I will tell you, I had a Jeep before this, and it was an off-road Jeep.
1989 YJ Wrangler, which is the reason that part, I mean, truly, it's a lot of the reason that we're sitting here. Because if you hadn't gotten me into off-roading, I wouldn't have met the Northeast ATV guys.
And for me,
we wouldn't be here with Libby.
And for me, it was the 1980 Bronco.
That you
that
decided
where
was.
I had to get out and put the front wheels, I had to lock the front hubs.
How did that Bronco fare
not good, but neither was my
combine harvester for trees.
Neither the tree harvesting was great. The tree harvesting is great. My off-roading ability was terrible. But anyhow, these machines, whether it's a Polaris or a Can-Am or whatever else they got out there, the Yamahas or whatever, and we've seen a lot of them on the trails today. It's amazing the abuse they take and what they go through on a normal ride. It really is.
It's great. I mean, if you could go back in time and say you do 110 miles in something and have the physical fatigue, if you did a day like today, over the terrain that we did today in a Jeep.
Forget it.
We could be destroyed. Crazy.
But this goes back to the conversation we were having earlier, which was there's a clear difference between riding the shit out of a machine and abusing a machine.
Yeah, mechanical sympathy.
And understanding what type of riding you're doing, what type of trails you're riding on, and knowing when to push things, when not to, and the machines for the most part will respond to how you treat them.
So another thing is we have a group of guys that we've been riding with for 15 or 20 years. Got to give a shout out to
10 years for the specific group.
To Lost Moose, New England.
Yep.
It's a pleasure to ride with people that you're comfortable with, and everybody knows everybody else's riding ability,
style, and ability,
and their personalities. So we can cover ground that it would probably take another group a long time to try to get to the same level that we're at.
And that's not it's not a bragging thing as much as it is a reality. Like, it's not just knowing each other's riding style and riding ability, but it also brings into question. Like, there's so much psychological weight behind the safety of this hobby. And, like, I mean,
take care of the guy behind you. Make sure the guy behind you is good.
You're only as fast as the slowest guy in your group, and you're only as safe as the least experienced person in your group. And when everybody's kind of on that same level, you can cruise at the same speed. You can, you know, go over the same kind of obstacles and terrain and cover ground at the same speed. And it's
understanding when you need to kind of slow things down for someone's, you know, when you can pick up some miles
or take a breather, you know, fucking let it rip.
Right. So for me today, I was telling them that my eyesight was either straight ahead to see where Sven was ahead of me.
It was dusty.
It was dusty. So I was trying to see the group ahead of me.
Very dusty.
I was also concentrating on my engine temperature. It was
probably like 70 degrees.
Yeah, but
they were having trouble breathing. It was dusty. Dude, and we had a super humid.
We had a huge change in elevation today.
Relatively speaking,
we were going from what? We were going from 1,200 feet to
11, 12 up to 24.
And it was a quick change. It wasn't like a gradual change. The hills today
were
really steep. And then I was also watching in my mirror for Ross. He was behind me.
I ran sweeper. So gunner as it is.
Just making sure he was staying behind me. So
no problem.
You know, level of concentration was between those three things.
But that's such a testament to the group that we have and the people that you spend time on these trails in the woods with time and time again. Like, you can let the front of the group go a half mile ahead and let the whole, we were talking about the accordion effect, you know?
Yep.
And you come together and everybody looks around, thumbs up, keep going. Like,
the knowing the group and knowing the person behind you and in front of you, there is the difference in waiting can range from give them a breather, you know, make sure that they get a moment to kind of catch their breath, to give them, you know, let them give you a thumbs up.
Wipe your goggles off.
To just wait to see their headlights and
scratch your
get
butt.
The hell going.
Yeah.
Like,
so anyhow, for the technical people in who are listening, why don't we go back to the start of our ride?
So we're coming up from, I'm coming from Connecticut, spending rich dad coming from New York, and we're coming up to New Hampshire on a Friday. So, you know, take the day of Friday off, and we're hoping to spend some time in the trails on Friday. So we go to the parking lot at Jericho Outdoors, which is an Arctic Cat dealer.
Husqvarna.
This is the same place that we used as a trailhead last year when we were up here. And we saddle up, we get on the road, we go about a quarter mile down the road, and Sven pulls over to the right. And I think this is, I mean, you know, I didn't,
I think he's checking his GPS and trying to figure
I think
out
he's like, same. I thought he was pulling over to look at the trail map and try to figure out what the fuck we're going, because I can't remember where we're going when we go to the club, you know, which we've been to 100 times at this point. And needless to say, the ever reliable Maverick decided to not be reliable. So can you tell the audience about how one of the most reliable vehicles in the off-road world decided to not be reliable?
So typically Saturdays are big rides, our longer rides, and Fridays are kind of our shakedown run. And, you know, we kind of know the Jericho, Berlin, Gorham, Jefferson, Stark area pretty well at this point. So we're able to run through Berlin, Gorham, and Jericho, and, you know, a small enough amount of time that it takes less than an afternoon. So we were planning to go from Jericho Outdoors into Berlin, down into Gorham, up through Jericho, and then back to the parking lot, and just kind of use that as a shakedown run for our Saturday ride.
And I mean, we put a shit ton of effort into these things, so if we're going to be here on a Friday at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, we might as well...
Get some good riding and get some
time on the trails. And like,
look, Jericho.
You don't go to the beach at 1 o'clock, you know, for a long weekend, and then
And the thing we'll say about Jericho.
Oh my god! Look at the little daisy baby.
Yeah, I haven't changed that.
The thing we'll say about Jericho is over the years the trails have gotten significantly more beat up.
As the side-by-side hobby has
exploded, and some of it's the weight of the machines, and some of it is the just the way that people are
since COVID
riding them.
Yeah, it's different since COVID. There's no question.
Yeah, but Jericho does have some great views, some great scenery, and by all means, there are places the Warming Hut and the windmills, the lake. Yep. There are three spots that if you're in this area, you're going to Jericho, you gotta hit.
Unquestionably, one of the best places to ride in the Northeast.
You have to hit them. You will not regret it. But on our way into Berlin,
and you can ride on the roads.
Yes,
in New Hampshire, if you're registered, you can ride on the local roads.
And it is clearly marked.
And made. Yeah.
And it's clearly marked where it says ATV route, shared ATV route. Yep. You're good to ride there.
So we get on the road on the tarmac.
So we got on the road.
About an eighth of a mile.
And the Maverick, which is always reliable. And
it's built like a fucking Freightliner.
It is built unbelievably well. I got a check engine light, and the RPMs absolutely plummeted.
And it was idling.
And I
jumped. It was up and down, and it was
idling, jumpy. And I got a message that I'd never even heard of before, which was limp home mode,
which essentially
protects the engine from killing itself.
Yeah. Limp mode in cars is generally it pulls timing. It starves the engine of fuel deliberately to save itself from chewing itself alive.
And so...
So the Can-Am decided to do this.
It was immediately, turn around, get back to the parking lot, and in my mind I was saying, weekend's done, I'll ride in the Razor.
And this is hot on the tails
of
Can-Am very graciously letting us borrow an Outlander 700 XT to review. Which Spen is, this is actually the first quad that Spen's going to ride to review. And we're looking forward to it. And they,
well, believe it or not,
they decided to leave it.
2500 Silverado and
Mike, lean to the mic.
We don't have room for a quad in the back.
You do, because we've done this last year.
It's amazing
2 years ago.
How much stuff we have to take for a 2-day trip up north.
It'll fit in the back of your truck.
If that's in the back of the truck, then everything that's in the back of the truck
is going in your truck.
That's
going in your truck.
That's
less. We can't. We have coolers. We have spare tires. We have tools. We have jacks. We have
spare tires should live on the.
What else do we have? We have boxes for helmets. We have bags of gloves.
Thank you, Can-Am. So, thank you, Neil, for doing that. We'll have stories about that to come.
Yes.
Needless to say,
we had a brief
moment of panic.
So
it does have a windshield.
It does have windshields.
Yeah, it would have been really nice in the morning when it was like 48 degrees.
So we limped the Maverick back to the parking lot. And Ross had done me a favor, and he ran across the street to the Can-Am dealership.
It wasn't a favor. It was the wherewithal to look around and try and figure out what our surroundings would let us do.
Which was Dalton Motorsports in
Jericho.
Berlin,
New Hampshire. And they happened to have a...
Perfect time.
Opening in with one quad leaving their service. Their bays.
And I should mention a tech who really knew what he was doing.
You know what that guy's name was?
They had...
He was great. This guy was great.
And so they did me a huge favor, and they took us in last second.
Like, they were dying to go home on a Friday.
They were getting ready to close up, finish up for the week. And he took me in last second, let me hang out with him.
Yeah, like,
showed me, you know, when he was plugging the computer in and you know, doing any diagnostics that he had.
So it was a cylinder one misfire. It only happened a few times, but because it happened enough, it was basically
shutting
cylinder one down, which is the front cylinder in the Maverick. So because these are such reliable engines, the solution is throw a new set of plugs in there.
So, and that was what he did. Yep. And he threw new plugs in both. And
he charged you back up. He checked half hour labor when he spent 45 minutes
checked,
on it.
Yes, and so he had checked. Amazing.
That is like service like.
He was able to, with the computer having the knowledge, he was able to, you know, shut one cylinder down and really evaluate it before
which we just so cool.
played with the plugs.
It's so cool seeing that happen.
Yeah, it is.
You place a button and it's like, okay, I shut down cylinder one with my mouse, but nothing happened. Oh, I shut down cylinder two. Oh, your engine died. It's so cool. Love that.
And just, unfortunately, in owning ATVs and UTVs, you come across your fair share of people in service who either take advantage of you or just aren't always in it for the right
fucking clue what they're doing.
Yeah, aren't in it for the right things, don't know what they're doing. When you find people who do good work and genuinely just care about taking care of people and their machines, it makes a huge difference. And the guys at Dalton just really...
they give shits.
They cared, and it really showed.
Day saver. Weekend saver.
Yeah. And you know, you just... They deserve every bit of business they get.
Just as an aside, Libby's Motorsports in New Haven, Polaris dealer.
New Haven, Connecticut.
Game saver.
Pizza Game Central saver. Of the United Game States. Saver. The
Zapardis.
The best.
Shout out Zapardis.
I had an issue with my Skip Polaris. Pappies. I don't want to name names. I had some horrible dealers in the area. Libby's. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
The good guys in this deserve credit because...
Hey, it's the same thing for the trucks. It's the same thing. It's the same thing for the cars, too. You know? Motorsports, there's no difference. Yeah. Like, there's good, there's bad, and there's evil. You know? And that transcends not just cars and trucks and quads, but every hobby.
Yep.
So, anyways... I think we've beaten this horse.
So, anyways,
so we got on. New spark plugs miraculously made this Maverick run great.
So he swapped spark plugs, started perfectly.
Which original spark plugs on it? 2016.
We did a take two. We went down this down the same road into Berlin. Had a beautiful ride down into Gorham.
You guys didn't see me when we passed the spot that it died the first time. I was going like, I was like cheering.
I was not looking back, man. I was out of that place.
Oh yeah, no, I was celebrating
from the rear. So we rode down through Berlin into Gorham.
There you go.
And then
from the rear. Do that a lot, don't you?
Hell yeah.
Hey, I did.
And so we went up into
not good, Bob.
Jericho was beat up.
So Jericho Mountain State Forest, is that what it's called?
Yeah,
State Park.
So
it's the mecca of the Northeast.
Yeah, they host an enormous
summer event.
Yeah, rally.
Multiple events. Yeah. I think. But
Jericho's a big time deal. It's just outside Mount Washington. It's
which, if you haven't done it, Mount Washington, it's a road. Take a car. Don't take your quad.
No,
it's so cold. It stinks.
Well, it was.
And it doesn't start out cold, but let me tell you, you turn one corner.
We only got halfway up.
You turn one corner and it's like it drops 30 degrees and the wind picks up like. To 50 miles per hour.
You know what you gain? October. You know what you gain by going up on a quad? Nothing.
Manliness.
Pack as many people as you can into a friggin' van or truck. And anyways, so we ended up doing like 35 miles on Friday, and just three of us.
35 in about an hour and a half or so.
Yeah, we were cruising. We went up to the warming hut. We did the windmills. Jericho is a great place to ride. All three of us wish that they were taking a little better care of the trails. The corrugations are gnarly. They are like the little ripply ruts, you know, that I don't know if they do them for like water drainage purposes. Or if it's to try to deliberately slow people down.
I think it's to slow people
down. Either way.
If you have dentures, and I'm, you know, like getting to that age, but you have dentures, they're going to fall out.
I shit you not. When we used to ride really tough places in Massachusetts, I used to chew gum because it would keep my teeth from smashing into each other when I was riding the brute force. Because you remember what it was like riding those things. Yesterday, even with how amazing the suspension is on that scrambler, it was the first time in a long time that I thought that I wished I had been chewing gum. No, it's still in there. Thank you, Sven. That is
all right. And
not PC, buddy.
And anyhow, that leads me to the next thing. Looking at that quad in the
your quad in the
rear view mirror,
the scrambler XP1000S. Thank you again, Polaris.
Let me tell you something. I've been watching you ride machines behind us for a while.
We've been riding since 2004.
That machine,
we're almost at 20 years.
That machine. You make up some ground when you fall behind. You make up some ground, and I'm telling you, that machine looks amazing.
It's amazing. It's mean.
It just looks. I see it coming up, and it's just
the 55-inch width.
It's got to be the stance, but it's also the way it handles these trails.
It is.
If I didn't have a side by side, that would be the quad that I would want to be on.
There's no other quad for side by side. I mean, at this point, like, so it's basically an ace, a player's ace
with no cage
and handlebars instead of the steer. Yeah. It's mean. It's great. And,
but to be able to do what we did today, 100 and some odd miles,
115,
and be able to actually, you know,
well,
raise your hand and drink a beer.
The difference tonight,
is amazing to me.
I did 120 on the brute force when I was like 23. I was in so much better shape.
Better shape. Also, the quad had no power steering.
I could barely lift any of my limbs.
Remember, Spencer had to wipe you.
You had five.
I had a fifth. Man, this show's gonna get crazy. Yeah. I'm sorry, Chris. I hope you find a better home.
Hi, Chris.
it's amazing. But we've talked this up and down. Like, I maintain, having had back surgery and a back injury, like, I feel less physically abused on the quad than I do in the side-by-sides because I can stand and use my legs and use the suspension. Bye, Ted.
No, but I'm.
You think I'm fucking joking, but like I can use all that stuff better to absorb the impacts than I can in a side. In a side by side, it just goes straight in your back, and you know that. No. Like, you have the tires that take a little of the beating. You have the suspension that takes some of it, depending on the way you set the suspension up. And then it's straight
shoulder,
into you.
My shoulders with the harnesses took the most beating today.
Your harnesses need to
because
be.
I was thrown back and forth on some of these hills and some of the bumps.
Right.
And the harnesses, you know, come over here and they actually. My left shoulder is actually like
it's one,
raw
two.
From, it's 1-2. And that's all I usually.
It's a 4-point harness.
Yeah, but I usually just buckle the top.
Yeah.
It's amazing looking in the rearview mirror to see the stability of this quad coming up behind you.
That's
the craziest thing.
I've been riding the quad for 2004. So we're a year shy of 20 years.
It's not bouncing. It's just stable. And I see the power because he falls behind from time to time. And then I kind of wait just to make sure he's okay. Yeah. And then all of a sudden he's right behind me.
Yeah. It's pretty remarkable. Yeah. It's a fucking, like,
it's an amazing machine. It's absolutely amazing.
And it's not to disparage any of the other amazing machines.
No, because you like the Sportsman also.
The Sportsman 1000 was also amazing.
Yeah,
and the Can-Am 650 that I rode up here a couple of years ago was also amazing. But like this, the XP 1000S package is just.
Yeah. Crazy.
I mean, Sven wrote it when it got delivered, and there's an amazing video, which is like, if Vine was still a thing, that would have been...
I wonder if Chris could edit it into this so that as you talk about it, it's just...
You should send him that video. It's fucking funny, but... This Scrambler is like... It's like three things away from perfect in my mind.
You know... I have grown up with Ross being, I love you, but so particular and snobby about vehicles.
Oh yeah, I'm an asshole.
Oh my
God. I mean, I'm not like
I
I'm
for
not
the most part. I drive things or
I'm
I
not
ride
like
things,
pretentious,
and I say,
but...
I like it. I don't like it. I like it. And Ross will just.
I mean, I buy Miatas and fancy 4Runners. Like, I don't buy, like, you know.
By all means,
cars.
It works. There is a very, very, very short list of vehicles that I've ever seen Ross either get out of or get off of.
Yeah.
Where there is a. There is a smile on his face that you can't just wipe away. Like, it is, there's clearly a connection with that vehicle, and the Scrambler is one of those.
Players nailed it.
And you had a great relationship with your previous Scrambler.
This 850.
But this one is a different level.
Yeah.
And it's, honestly, from what I've gathered, by both, you know, seeing him on it and also riding it a little bit at times, it's worth every bit of it.
Yeah, 18 grand's a fuck ton of money for.
No, I'm saying worth every bit of your smile.
Oh my! Yeah.
Your smile's priceless.
I had a guy.
Wait a second.
Come
think,
up to me.
Do you think the engineering is any different in that from a $30,000 X3?
That is a very complicated question.
Yeah.
I think
the engineering is the same.
It's different means to the same end. I think a $30,000 X3 these days.
And we were talking before, you cannot believe how many of these machines we saw today on the trail.
The difference is, I think, the amount of money that they've spent engineering the X3s divided by the number of X3s that they've sold, broken out, is probably more profitable than how much they spent developing the Scrambler XP1000S divided by how many of those they've sold.
But I also think it's demand in the side-by-side market versus demand in the ATV market. Because
COVID,
your machine should be over 20 grand. Easy.
I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, I think 15, like, so the brute force, if like, this is such a difficult topic because we're talking about inflation and demand and time. Yeah. And we're like, there's so much at play here. And like, you take a machine like the Grizzly 700, which I love Yamaha. I love the Grizzly 700. They haven't really changed anything over the last 10 years. The price has gone up and up and up. Yeah.
Shout out Yamaha. Their vehicles have never failed me.
Yeah.
Literally started every single time I've ever owned one.
The first side-by-side I'd buy is an RMX. I love Yamaha.
Right. And,
you know?
And Spen's got it. Spen's got a Can-Am. I have a Polaris. He's got a Can-Am. I have a Polaris. And we were both talking, if we were to sell our vehicles right now, what would we get to replace them?
This is a great topic. This is because this isn't fantasy $45,000 side by side land. This is realistic.
So
I'm going to drive it
in
low speed and fast.
Right,
and
the X3s
like,
are an amazing, amazing looking vehicle. I mean, we saw how many do you think we saw today?
I would wager that
probably 25.
It was a fifth of the vehicles we saw today were X3s.
And I would say
not necessarily
close
new
to
X3s.
Close to 50% of the side-by-sides we saw were X3s.
Right. And you're talking 25 to 30 grand per machine.
Which is crazy because that's more money than I've spent on 75% of the street vehicles that I've owned.
Right. And when Spen was in for service, I was talking to one of the guys, a sales guy.
Yeah,
and
Tom Libby's best friend.
The quad was in for service. I wasn't
in for service. Yeah, okay, whatever.
And Spen was
anyhow,
in for service.
I asked him, he got out of an X3, and I said to him, what's the going price for these things? And he said, 30 grand. He said, we're getting 30 grand because everybody wants
it. Yeah, which is, I still think that there's...
Were you in for service?
Yeah. I think that COVID lapse is still happening there because people are still
supply
getting into this hobby. And there was also a supply and demand issue. But there will be a time that
I still say
people are saying
if you spend 30 grand on a machine and you go into the woods and you beat the crap out of it and you bump into trees and you scratch it and you have to have it repaired every third ride, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
Unless you've got so much disposable income that you really couldn't care less.
Hey, for a long time over the last 10 years.
And I'm telling you, wait. And I'm telling you, the people that passed us today, I can tell you, they don't have that income.
No, I'll tell you, Ash. Tell you when you're older. There was a long time for the last 10 years when credit was cheap. Interest rates were low.
Credit is not cheap now.
But it was.
It was at one point.
It was. And everybody who's got a 2-year-old Maverick X3.
But these are new machines that are passing us.
If it's a 2-year-old X3, it looks brand new. And you know what? They got a 0.9 interest rate on one of those fuckers from Can-Am.
Yeah.
Or a 1.9 if they're, you know, if they got a 400 credit level. Anyways, we were planning 20 minutes. We're coming up on 45. So let's talk about today. So we're recording again today, Saturday, September 23rd. We set out from a parking lot, a launch point. In what town were we in?
Stark.
Was it? No, I don't think it's technically Stark.
No.
Roughly Stark, New Hampshire.
It was right outside of Stark.
Right outside Stark, and we took advantage of the Success Trail system.
No, that was...
No, I'm looking at Spen. I don't fucking know. I'm following you guys.
That was
no?
That was on the way
Is
down.
There a name for this trail system?
is the New Hampshire and Maine trails.
So we rode from New Hampshire into Maine. Tried to have a target.
I will say that at the border for Maine, where they had a sign that says you're entering Maine and you need Maine registration, the trail system changed from groomed to mud.
It's like going from New York into Connecticut during a snowstorm. Yeah, you cross the border and you're like, oh.
Connecticut's great. New York
is like fend for yourself.
They forgot to send the plaza. Yeah.
Which is crazy because we're talking Hudson Valley, right. 84 in Hudson Valley. Right. Like, you'd think it'd be good. Connecticut's got, you know.
But Maine, it was deep mud. The trails were not groomed. And not a lot of people on those trails.
Yeah.
New Hampshire was packed. Maine was.
I did have 20 seconds of severe panic over whether I had my Maine registration with me.
Mm-hmm. We may have set off from West Milan.
Okay.
Italy?
I hope I'm pronouncing it right.
Yeah, that's how you spell it.
West Milan?
West Milan. We rode into Maine.
It's funny because I was a little melancholy this morning.
Oh. Some Smashing Pumpkins. Yeah, we rode into Maine. We had a target place of having lunch at a
general store.
General store, tiny little deli in Maine. They took the.
I thought it was going to be a restaurant.
Weekend.
But it was a general store.
I told Spencer, it reminded me of the place, the deli at the base of the mountains in New Paltz. When you come to the intersection of 44 and 55, and
we rode into Upton, Maine.
Wait, that's where before that, Upton. On the way, I will say that if any of you are in Errol, New Hampshire,
yes,
the general store there is a throwback and is an absolute hoot if you want to go in and see like an old time store.
They have everything you could want.
From
everything you could need,
hardware supplies to clothing,
that doesn't have to do with your vehicle,
to hunting supplies, to food. It was the coolest thing I've seen in years.
It's like a Cabela's meets a Walmart.
Yeah, it was
like a middle of nowhere Walmart where you get your guns, but also your butter.
Yeah.
Well, no, that would be Jericho Outdoors.
Fair enough. So we rode into Maine. And then we left Maine, came back into New Hampshire, and
so from Upton we
you're from, like 14 feet from the microphone.
From Upton we ended up going south to hook up with the Success Trail, which brought us down to Berlin.
Hold on, we're checking some internet things here. Okay. Yeah, so we rode to Berlin, into Berlin. Yeah, we rode into Berlin, had lunch at...
At we sat down 5 o'clock.
We sat down for lunch at 4, and were served lunch at 5.
Fagan's Pub.
Thank you, Fagan's. You should have...
Very good food.
Turns out, good food.
Burger.
Yeah.
Awesome. Almost came up out of me on the way back.
Yeah. And that's why you... choose selectively what you eat when you're riding
a
quad. Yeah.
Get a turkey club. Because, don't get a burger.
Yeah, a little more physical on my side. So I had half my fries and half a sandwich compared to what you guys had. But
for those of you going on long rides, remember pack snacks. Unbelievably important. Unbelievably important.
Yeah,
because there's always a chance that you're not going to be able to find the food that you were in search of.
Yeah, so you could the place out, you go to is you, closed.
There are two things that you're worried about, food and gas.
And gas, always bring extra gas.
Always.
I would say at a minimum.
I did better this round.
At a minimum, bring 2 gallons.
Per vehicle.
Per vehicle.
Per vehicle.
Always. We had a ride a few years ago in New Hampshire where we would start out from Stark and we would go to this unmanned gas station and... everybody would fill up.
Unpersoned.
It was unpersonal, whatever. And
it was just a gas station.
It was a concrete slab with two pumps.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I remember.
And we went out one day and we were all like basically low on gas and they had run out of gas.
I was riding the Brute Force, so I didn't even know if the fucking float was right or not, because it's sometimes.
And it was mass panic because we were deep into the woods already, and we were on the way, and half the group
needed fuel.
Needed fuel,
and there was no fuel.
Right.
I was on blinking low fuel light for a solid 10 to 15 miles
today.
No,
that time.
I rode 10 miles.
And TJ kept telling me, if you run out of fuel, I'll just give you some of the gas that's in the back of my quad. I was like, just give it to me now.
Yeah.
Say, because you'll use it.
I did 10 miles today on the one bar, which it's not a problem until it's a problem, you know?
So.
Sorry, fuel pump.
Fuel, snacks. I still say a buddy system is the safest way to go. There are people in our group. I was talking to one of the guys today, who rode by himself. And you know what?
Hey,
you
do it all the time.
Yeah, I know. It's a different mindset, but things happen. You know?
That works.
Things happen. Things break.
But everyone works their own way. But the greatest thing is just don't do something unsafe for you.
Right.
And for us, out alone would be
a cardinal
unsafe.
Cardinal sin.
The rule of the road.
Which you've done before, by the way.
I know.
But for other people, but for other people around here who this is their, this is what they do and they're comfortable doing it, then for them, they make it work and they have their own set of rules. But everyone should have their own set of rules, but the number one rule should always just be safety. Just don't do anything dumb.
Sorry, we're being interrupted by pictures of a very sleepy baby. Look at this baby.
That's a baby?
It's mostly like a...
I cleaned up her poop last week.
Ben did clean her poop last week. No, the...
I changed my first diaper. It was life-changing. I never want to do it again.
I've done about 16,000. The general...
I'll change you.
The takeaway from everything is calculated risk. If you go into the woods every single weekend and know how to maintain your machine and, deal with any situation or circumstance.
There's still the what
fine.
If. There's still the what if.
Sure.
And if the what if.
Sure.
You know, there are areas today that we covered where there is no cell service. So unless you have a satellite phone, you're screwed. You get stuck out there. It's not like going to a state park where they have a ranger sitting in the parking lot and counting cars and counting people who come back. You're out by yourself in this area. Nobody's going to know if we disappear out there.
But again, calculated risk. If you know your vehicle can handle it, if you know that you're capable of doing the trails, if you know you've maintained your vehicle so nothing should go wrong, there's always a possibility,
in that case that, TJ would talk to his parents, and if they didn't hear from him, they would know.
Sure.
And where are they going to find him?
Well,
they know the trails.
If they know between A and B,
it's always something. We went today, and you were tracking trails on your GPS system.
But they know the trails.
But how many cutovers did they take that we don't know that's not on the map?
They probably take the same
ones. They're familiar with them.
They're familiar with it. They've taken it before.
Do you remember the cutover we took today? It was on this grassy trail.
They have the same GPS system.
They're tracking the same stuff.
They have the same GPS system.
The three of us have to remember that this is outside of our perfect comfort zone.
Right?
This isn't the cutover from Hardscrabble to, 139 isn't what most people would do. They'd go down and take 100 off. Like, it's the same kind of thing for somebody who does this every weekend. You know, again, comfort zones are different for everybody.
That's a whole other conversation.
You guys
that's
looked at me when I was crazy to drive a sports car for 2 years through the winters, you know? Like, threshold, everybody has their own threshold.
His sports car was a Miata.
Yeah, it's the definitive sports car.
It's a Miata.
Definitive
but sports just, car. You know, one more comment on
it's
this.
A Miata.
It's amazing
it's
that
the best car I've ever owned.
It's amazing that it's amazing that these guys up here know these tiny trails that go through the woods that are off the grid.
But they're not. If they're looking at their GPS and they know the tracks,
I don't know if it's on GPS. I don't know if that trail is on GPS.
It has to be because
they have it.
There's ATV prohibited zones if you go to the right.
There was no sign on that trail. There was nothing. Was there?
Yeah.
No, the trail we went down on the left.
Oh, through
the,
no, no, but that's.
But if they have that
who knew
marked,
about that?
But if they have that mark, it's not.
Okay. Anyways, we could do another hour on everybody's right. You know sensibilities. We're actually so coming up on it. Yeah, let's. Anybody have any other takeaways or things they want to talk about?
Takeaways.
I think we covered a lot.
Beat this horse off to death.
And we're all gonna lay there and think that we're on like a magic carpet ride because I'll tell you, after a 100-mile ride, I still feel the hills.
Yeah, the ups and downs.
Ups and downs.
I'm gonna hallucinate
for a while.
You know, you've only had that every time because we gave you an edible.
No. No, that's not true.
It's just the
ups and downs after a ride like this.
Yeah.
Which it's fun to experience.
It's a
New Hampshire keeps winning.
It's a physiological.
We had a great day today.
We had a great fun.
I'm hoping that the GoPro came out, you know, the tapes came out.
Yeah. If it did work, then we can try to share it.
Yeah.
Also, if my brother
just absolutely
cuts his like artery in his leg while this is happening, I'm talking about not being able to get access to services. He's got a knife like by his leg right now.
Just, you know, absolutely bombing down trails, miles and miles and miles of trails. You know, just it was really something.
Yeah.
We really had a
collective effort.
Yeah. Really had a
everybody came together to fix your machine.
Yeah.
I didn't actually physically help with yours, but I was, you know, there.
You did the legwork.
Did some
finding some
psychological
and I meant
getting the thing ready for the trip.
One thing we didn't talk about
before you even had
my steering is fucked. I was driving I had the wheel turned at a 30-degree angle the whole day today because
somebody said he knew how to do an alignment.
I didn't.
Turns out
at all.
Yeah.
When we did get on paved roads and I did 30-35, it would took all of my strength to try to hold it.
That's because your alignment's also fucked.
Yeah, I know. And guess who did it?
Not me.
I did.
You know, because
he did his alignment.
He did both of their alignments.
His alignment is perfectly fine.
You know?
I did multiple tests on his. His is fine. It's just that he's got 30-inch tires that
do not
react well to being on pavement.
I did
my
one alignment
left
on
the front wheel is turned at a significant angle inwards.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My right front, totally fine. All I got to do, fix the left.
I will say that there were only two times today in the trails that I went up over a hill and I prayed to God that I was going to land on a trail when I came up over the hill.
As opposed to on
and
a
not
person?
In, no, not in like
the
a tree
woods?
Or
oh,
whatever.
Man. I love this.
You know, where you just like
see,
have no idea where you're going up, and
again,
it's like, oh,
you
no.
Go,
that's
you
another benefit.
Quad,
that's another benefit of the
see.
Quad. I can stand up and go.
I can't see.
And that's why I wanted to move that flash, that the chase light that you have.
Yeah.
Because when you go over the hill and you come down on the other side, the chase light disappears behind the plastic. But
I will say also that there were a bunch of hills that were so steep that as we were going up, I had to look up under my roof to see where I was going. That's how steep they were.
Nothing we did today or yesterday was supremely difficult.
No.
Just putting it out there.
No.
Not the, also,
it was just the balance.
This scrambler just ate all this shit up. It was great. Great. All right. We're going to wrap this show up before my brother amputates his leg over here because he's got a knife and his pants in the. He's making.
Okay.
This does not look good.
I'm actually like really concerned. Okay, so
thank you, everybody.
Yeah, Chris wraps the show up by saying,
"Follow us on that's great. Spotify.
We did it.
Rate,
and review. No,
I think we should say one thing. To the mountain.
Rate, review, and subscribe.
Also, Tom, when you asked where our bikes is, he said it's just over that mountain. Yeah, like and rate.
Like, rate, review. Subscribe. Off the Road Again Podcast on Spotify.
You can follow us at Off the Road Again Podcast on all the places.
They are on Twitter.
Hope you enjoyed our show.
Yeah.
And our comments.
Hopefully
and our stories.
Actually made words make sense after, 14 beers.
And 100 miles of riding.
115. It was a long day. Sven, do you want to plug your shit or are you not? Do you want people to follow you?
I don't remember my thing.
Sven's on.
I think it's
Sven's on X. Going to give it to you. Sven's on Twitter as probably
SuaveB17 on Twitter.
It should be
X. You're going to go by now, Elon. You clown.
Elmo. It's Elmo now. Your handle should be probably ranting about sports.
You like my shirt?
No. If you don't send your girlfriend a picture of that, then you don't have a girlfriend. Do you want people to follow you, Dad?
Nope.
Okay, so that's it. We did it. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
I'm going to pretend I know how to pause or end this, considering... Oh, I'm going to stop.